everyone. Welcome to the Entertainment Dog for the week of May 13th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and soggy in Seattle, Melissa Hansen.
I am. It was gorgeous, like Saturday. Yeah. I actually went to a Sounder soccer game.
Yeah.
It was beautiful, and now it's, Seattle weather. Which, you come to Seattle, you expect.
I suppose. Coffee and rain.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So what has your week in entertainment been like?
Well, I actually saw Iron Man.
Oh, nice.
I'm completely behind on movies right now. So I saw Iron Man 3, really, really liked it. I didn't hate the second one as much as other people did.
Yeah, I despise
it. So that's where I'm coming from. I like the second one. This one I really liked.
Oh, good.
So it was excellent. And I really liked the writing in it.
Okay.
And kind of where they took the story. Because a lot of it is, like, who is Iron Man? Tony Stark is Iron Man. But he's not, because it's Tony Stark in the suit is Iron Man. Like, if he's out of the suit, is he still Iron Man? And what if somebody else wears the suit? Are they Iron Man?
Okay.
Like, so there's questions like that. Like, who really is Tony Stark? What really is Tony Stark versus Iron Man? Because it's kind of cool. I'm not going to give away huge things, but Pepper gets to be Iron Man for a bit.
No kidding.
Which is very, Gwyneth has a very expanded role.
Wow.
And gets to kick a little ass too.
All right.
Which is cool to see. But it's really interesting. And the other thing with it, it's all of that kind of questions. This takes place in the Marvel universe.
Okay.
In the Avengers universe.
Oh.
And they've done a good job of keeping their films connected.
Interesting.
Doing that. Now, there's not much S.H.I.E.L.D. in this. S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
doesn't have anything to do with it. None of the other characters. Like the second one, they were setting up so much for Avengers.
Yeah.
And I think that was the problem with the second one. But Tony Stark, a mere mortal, has now fought with gods.
True.
He now knows there's universes out there.
True.
Aliens have come and attacked New York. The whole world knows it now. But Tony Stark was in the middle of it, literally fighting with gods.
Yep.
What does that do to, like,
your psyche?
Yeah. To how you perceive the world.
Yeah.
And it's affected him a lot.
Hmm.
So that's the personal story in this.
All right.
And then we get, the big bads. We get, Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin.
Yeah.
Very cool. And Guy Pearce is in it, too. And then we get Don Cheadle's back.
Oh, nice.
As War Machine. He has a decent-sized role in it.
Yeah.
It was a huge action. Huge.
It sounds like a lot of story to fit in a couple hours.
So, yeah, a lot of story and a lot of action, and they make it work.
Okay.
You even get a cute little kid that's not annoying.
All right.
So, yeah, they somehow fit a hell of a lot of stuff in, from every angle into it and made it work, in my opinion.
Do they do a tag to set up Thor for November?
No.
Okay.
They do a tag, not to set up Thor.
Okay.
Again, connects it back to the whole S.H.I.E.L.D.
All right.
Universe, but that's it, really, in the movie.
All right, because
stick around through the credits.
Okay, because we have the S.H.I.E.L.D. series coming to ABC this fall, and then we have Thor, The Dark World, that opens at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So those are the next two chapters in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, so that's it. And the other good thing, or what I liked about it, Shane Black directed this.
Yeah.
Now Favreau's back. Happy's in the movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Not huge, but pivotal role. But Shane Black did a really great job. He hasn't directed much. He's more of a writer, so he wrote and directed this. And,
all right.
And did a great job. I didn't notice some big change, between the first two and this.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I'm one of those highly recommend. I think a lot of people are recommending it.
All right. And Robert, as usual, is doing his... Yeah.
Yeah. But again, they give him some dramatic, emotional stuff.
Okay.
To do, too, which is great. It's not just smart ass kicking ass.
All right.
Really a great action film, but so much more than that, too. Huh. They did perfect job with it.
Well, I'm finally going to see Oblivion tomorrow, and then
okay.
I'll see Iron Man at the end of the week. So,
we'll okay, yeah. Yeah, you want to see it on the big screen, too.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So.
Well, I got a little caught up with Kick-Ass this past weekend. I sat down to review Arnold Schwarzenegger's The Last Stand, which got trounced at the box office and by critics.
That's the Johnny Knoxville one, right?
It is Johnny Knoxville, but Johnny has such a small role in this. Okay. I think everybody's expecting him to be this big. He's just a little sidekick, and it's not even one of the primary sidekicks. So he's got a team of three deputies, really four, because Rodrigo Santoro. And I love this guy. I had the opportunity to interview him back when he was doing David Mamet's Red Belt. I loved him on Lost, even though we hated those characters, Pablo and what's her name?
Yeah.
The two that they kind of brought on out of nowhere.
Nikki
and Pablo.
Right.
He's a great guy. He's one of those guys that's so full of life and he's happy all the time. And then he gets to play these characters that are all messed up. And he plays a really messed up character in this. So it's great to watch him do that. But Arnold comes back with his big screen presence. He's noticeably older. They play it older. They write it older. It's good. I had a conversation with Steve Power that the villain in this is crap, and it's true. It's written poorly. Mm-hmm. It's executed poorly. But there's a secondary villain, kind of his second in command, who was the wood chipper guy from Fargo.
Oh, okay.
The big creepy guy. And he plays this really devious. He gets to execute Harry Dean Stanton in a very maleficent way. I mean, it's just malevolent. It's a good movie to sit down on a Friday night or a Saturday night and just turn your brain off and watch things blow up. So just don't think about the story that they're trying to tell, but Arnold is back and it's fun to watch.
It's fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So it's well worth checking out, you know, renting on Netflix or picking up at Redbox or whatever.
Okay.
But the box office this weekend had a bit of a horse race, more than I think people were expecting.
Yeah, so Iron Man pulled it out with $72 million.
Yeah.
And then Great Gatsby, $51 million.
Now, critically, it's been very love it or hate it. Because
Baz, a lot more hate it, I think.
Baz creates these big, bold. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
He has a very distinctive style, and some people dig it, and other people just get a massive headache and walk away.
Yeah.
So my parents saw it. In fact, they called me last night and gave me their review as they were driving home.
Really?
To say they enjoyed it. They really loved it. So
really?
Yeah.
That's shocking.
Yeah, I know. My parents don't usually like that kind of stuff, but they loved the period style. They loved the acting. They loved the story. So.
Oh, all right, then.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the rest of the top five. So we had $70 million, $50 million. Pain and Gain came in third with $5
million. Well, again, the summer.
If you went, you were seeing Iron Man or Gatsby. That's it. People's just under $5 million.
Okay.
42, just 4.6 million.
Right, but it's still hanging in there. You know,
yeah.
It's still, and that's good to see, which means it's going to do well on home video. And it's a story that should be told. What I really am flabbergasted by is that we're only, 2 weeks into Iron Man, and it's almost cleared $1 billion worldwide.
Yeah, that's insane.
And the next movie that's close on its heels is probably going to do the same thing in the similar amount of time. Star Trek Into Darkness opens on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Which is...
Yeah, that's going to kick it out. So,
which is being called more Indiana Jones than Star Trek this time, because I guess a lot of the adventure takes place on Earth.
Okay, interesting.
And it's a lot more mystery-oriented than big space battles. No, but it opened in Europe last week. It's done extremely well, and it's just going to dominate the box office this week.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
But there is some counter-programming. Aaron Eckhart gets to play an action hero in Erased, as an ex-CIA agent who is with his daughter on the run as he's being purged by the agency, which sounds to me kind of a little bit like Taken. It sounds like pretty much all of these other, you know, CIA. There was a Schwarzenegger film like this, too, where he was being kind of expunged. I don't remember what it was. So, but Aaron doesn't often get a chance to play these kind of roles, so we'll see how he does with that. And then there's... For the other set, there's kind of a romantic comedy called English Teacher, Julianne Moores is a little small town English teacher whose life is disrupted when one of her ex-students, played by Lily Collins, comes home after failing to make it as a New York City playwright.
Okay.
But Greg Kinnear and Nathan Lane co-star.
Oh, nice.
So if you're not into big bombastic action, you can go see this. Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, the Wachowskis' Cloud Atlas. Did you ever see that?
No, I did not catch that when I was in theaters.
Oh, they're coming to arrest you. They're arresting you for podcasting illegally in Seattle. I don't know. It's a very heady... It wasn't as bad as some people made it out to be. It's a very heady, thought-provoking... You know, what does our life really mean? What are we here for? Right. Do we exist over multiple lifetimes? Are we reincarnated? And how do those threads tie together? It's something that you need to see, I think, at least twice to fully get the messages that they're putting out there. But it did terrible at the box office. I mean, this thing tanked bigger than John Carter did for Disney. And that was a big flop. So I'm curious to see.
Yeah, I think a lot more people like me that like didn't quite catch it because they weren't like, they want to see it, but weren't like in the mood.
Yeah.
You know, going to the theater, you know, well, watch it now and probably, yeah, watch it a couple of times.
Also coming, Dexter Season 7, which I have not watched the show, but we are going into the 8th and final season this year. So have you been keeping up?
So excited. Yeah, I've been keeping up on DVD.
Okay.
So I have not watched this season that's coming out. And I was so like, I'm going to pre-order it so it's there that day. And then I'm like, I'm going to be out of town. So I'm waiting to see if I get home. I'm cabinet shipped.
Well, the pre-order thing has...
That's what I will be doing the next, I want to say few weeks, but no, I'll do it in like a week.
All right.
Because I won't be able to stop watching it.
What is it, like 13 episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shorter cable season.
You know, the pre-order guarantee from Amazon is usually a good thing because sometimes you get it even before it streets, like a couple days.
I'm getting Amazon in trouble.
Well, I know, but...
Yeah, but they don't ship it when it releases. They ship it to arrive the day it releases.
Or, in this case, in the case of Doctor Who Series 7 Part 2, it arrived 2 weeks before it was supposed to...
Don't get Amazon in trouble.
Well, they are in trouble because BBC is shitting their pants because the series finale, the season finale hasn't even aired yet and people have already received the disc.
Yeah, that's not so.
So they are begging people to keep their mouth shut and not ruin it for everybody else.
Right.
But the Neil Gaiman episode aired this past weekend and it was very good. I was a little hesitant.
Gaiman is getting mainly, it's excellent. But he's getting quite a bit of, it is the worst Doctor Who episode ever.
Oh, please. We have seen terrible Doctor Who, and this doesn't come in anywhere close to that.
So he is getting quite a few comments. Like I said, vast majority is it's excellent. But he is getting quite a few that it's the worst one.
Neil's done very smart things because he gets inside the head of the Doctor like he did with the Doctor's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some interesting stuff that happens in here. Again, I'm really pissed off that they set up this whole Clara mystery and haven't done a goddamn thing with it.
Yeah, that's just
nothing,
stupid.
Nothing, nothing, nothing. And I keep waiting, and now we're going to get one episode where they're going to reveal everything. And it's just like, what's the friggin' point? I'm just pissed off. It's a wasted opportunity. And Stephen is not known for doing this. He's very good about laying the seeds and bringing them to fruition later, but now we're tying into Dead River, you know, from the library where she got sent away, where she died. And I'm like, how are you going to make this happen?
Whatever.
So, I don't know. We'll see. One more week. I'm distracted here, but I digress. Also coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, Texas Chainsaw 3D, which is a remake of the original. Why? I don't know, but it's there. Sony is releasing a slew of new Blu-rays mastered in 4K for the higher definition HDTVs, which...
I don't even know what all that means. Who cares?
It has to do with resolution in terms of the design of the television being able to broadcast more high-definition pictures than the standard HDTV used to be. But I'm also tired of this. You know, how many versions of Ghostbusters and Spider-Man and stuff do we really need?
Right.
So if you're an early adopter and want to see what it looks like in higher resolution, there you go. And then we also get Lindsay Lohan as Elizabeth Taylor and Liz and Dick.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. There's really nothing new on Netflix this week. In fact, there aren't any new titles scheduled to be released until May 27th.
Okay.
So I'm not exactly sure what's going on or if their service is just screwed up at the moment and they're not properly listing what's coming. Because when is Arrested Development supposed to arrive?
Oh, yeah, that's end of the month.
Yeah, so maybe they're holding everything to make it big. I don't know. But it just seems ridiculous that they had a bunch at the first week and then nothing for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We'll see. Over at Hulu, there's a bunch of new stuff. Kathleen Turner is Serial Mom. I think that's a John Waters movie.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Anthony Perkins returns as Norman Bates in Psycho 2 and 3. 2 was lousy. 3 was a little bit more interesting, but still both pale in comparison to the original. Because they're not Hitchcock. And Psycho doesn't need a sequel. Sylvester Stallone and Estelle Getty in Stop for My Mom Will Shoot.
Oh,
Phil Cosby is Ghost Dad. And then George Lucas's classic gets a sequel and more American Graffiti, which is a terribly boring movie.
Okay.
And I'll turn it over to you for television.
Okay. We got, you know, a million things ending this week, so I'll kind of fly through them. Monday, Castle on ABC, How I Met Your Mother and Two Broke Girls on CBS, 90210 on CW, and then Tuesday, NCIS is both of them, and Golden Boy on CBS, New Girl and Mindy Project on Fox, but So You Think You Can Dance is premiering on Fox on Tuesday night. Wednesday, CSI on CBS, Arrow and Supernatural on CW. Thursday, we've got Grey's Anatomy and Scandal ending their seasons on ABC. Big Bang and Elementary on CBS. And The Office is ending for good on NBC.
Thank God.
While Vampire Diaries and Beauty and the Beast have their season finales on the CW. And it's the end of the season, finally, for American Idol on Fox.
And Randy Jackson is leaving the show.
And he will be leaving the show. This is, so the end of Randy Jackson, too.
Yep.
Friday, Shark Tank on ABC, Undercover Boss on CBS, Nikita on the CW. All of their season enders. And then Saturday, the last episode of the season of Doctor Who on BBC America. And then on Sunday, Celebrity Apprentice on NBC is ending. And Simpsons and Family Guy have their season enders on Fox. Huh. Okay. So, a bit of country and country adjacent this week in music. George Strait has a new album called Love Is Everything. And Trace Atkins has a new one called Love Will, .. Amy Grant, who has not had a new album in quite a while, has one called How Mercy Looks From Here. And Bobby McFerrin with some new music called Spirit You All, but that's all one word.
Okay.
So... And for those kiddos or tweens or whatever age they're at now, Demi Lovato has a new one called Demi. And a new blues album called Didn't It Rain from Hugh Laurie. Okay, and in books this week, let's all say it together.
James Patterson.
And this time it's with Michael Ledwidge. It's called Zoo. And it's supposed to be his best novel ever.
Of course it is.
So it's not any of the series ones. It's just a one-off. But anyhow, he is back after, a two-week absence?
Yeah, right. You need a little bit of vacation there.
All right. Well, also back is Dan Brown.
Oh.
With another in the Da Vinci series.
Oh.
This one's called Inferno. And then for all you reality TV stars, Allison Sweeney has a book. But this time it's fiction. It's called The Star Attraction. Allison Sweeney hosts The Biggest Loser, and she's on Dating Our Lives, and does like 100 frickin' things.
Yeah.
Anyhow, and then Guy Fieri has Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yeah.
Funky Finds in Flavortown, America's Classic Joints and Killer Comfort Food. Hmm. This is updated with his, connected with his TV show.
Gotcha.
All right, and Jimmy Connors has autobiography out. The Outsider, a memoir. Subdition, the Driven Tennis there.
Yeah.
And then we have Rumsfeld's Rules, Leadership Lessons in Business, Politics, War, and Life.
Oh, Jesus.
By Donald Rumsfeld.
Mm-hmm. And then the crabbiest man ever to grace Washington.
All right. So we had a little preview of my next announcement a couple weeks ago on Glee. We had Miss Sue Sylvester.
Yes.
Played by Jane Lynch, singing Little Girls.
Oh, from Annie.
About all the cheerleaders. Well, she is debuting May 15th.
Ah.
Again, she is taking over for Katie Finneran.
From Wonder Falls.
From Wonder Falls and, you know, 100 things on Broadway.
Right. Oh, yeah. She's phenomenal.
Yeah. So she is taking over through July 14th before she has to go back and shoot next season.
The next two seasons. Talk about a show that needed to get its plug pulled.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Oh, and this, I kept wondering. I'm like, well, what are they going to do the end of this season? Because the rest of the original cast is graduating and leaving.
Okay.
We ended the season with the regionals, not the nationals.
Huh.
We ended it the middle of the school year. So next year is going to be the second part of the
season. Oh, for Christ's sake.
That's how they're doing it. They're keeping them on because they're making one season just part of a school year. It used to be a school year,
right,
a season.
Right.
Nope, now they're extending this to two seasons. That's how we're doing it.
Geez.
So we ended in our regionals.
Whatever.
Sneaky, sneaky. Except Miss Brittany got early admission to MIT and had to leave.
MIT.
Oh, no. They set this up a couple whatever months ago.
Idiot.
She got
savant.
Like a perfect score on her SAT.
Oh, jeez.
She drew pictures. With bubbles. But it got her a perfect score.
Unbelievable.
So that's how they're getting, because she's pregnant in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
She's taken off for MIT, so we'll all see. Right.
Yeah.
What happens there. But everybody else is still in the same spot for next season. Anyhow, all right.
All right.
That's exciting theater news.
Yeah.
Well, what are we going to talk about?
We might as well segue into TV, because all of the networks are announcing what's staying, what's going, what's coming.
By the way, I hate NBC. NBC sucks.
Why?
Go on, right. Canceled, and the new normal.
Yes. Yes.
I was looking forward to those coming back, figuring they wouldn't, but my greatest fears have been proven true.
Well, I have a short list here of things that have happened. Yeah. So they're rebooting Ironside, which the Raymond Burr Fat Man in the Wheelchair series.
Okay.
They're making a TV series about a boy, the Hugh Grant, Nicholas Holt movie.
Yes.
New shows for Rebel Wilson, Michael J. Fox, and James Vanderbeek.
Yes.
Cancellations include CSI New York, Whitney, 1600 Penn, which...
another two shows I actually liked, Whitney and 1600 Penn. I just admitted that Whitney went in public. Damn it.
God, yeah, well, yeah, you don't want to say that too loud. Whitney is a terrible show.
I know, and I loved it. Okay.
But Jenna Elfman cannot buy a series. That girl gets canceled no matter what she's on.
Yeah, she gets one season, so, yeah.
Happy Endings got canceled. Smash got canceled. Like you said, New Normal. Renewals, Once Upon a Time on ABC. Grey's Anatomy, which Shonda Rhimes has to be happy, but I can't believe that show is still on the air.
Yeah.
The Carrie Diaries, which everyone talked about how terrible that show is on CW, and yet they have nothing to replace it, so they're keeping it. Modern Family and Suburgatory on ABC, no big surprise there. And Community and Parks and Rec, which is a surprise given the fact that the shows have declined so terribly in quality.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's going to be more talk about this because we're now just getting to all these announcements, but I don't watch that much TV anymore, so I really have no vested interest in any of this. And I know you watched a little bit. Did Grimm get renewed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it did. It's going back to Friday nights. It's with the new Dracula show.
Oh, I've heard about that.
They're
going to
pair it with.
All right.
So, which sounds like a good pairing.
Yeah.
So, no, Grimm's doing fine.
All right.
Yeah, so, but yeah, some of those, and like the new normal really was excellent.
Yeah.
With such a, but luckily, Whitney and the new normal, they kind of came to a nice little wrap up.
Okay.
Like, we know everybody's going to be okay.
Yeah.
characters we care about. Yeah. So, anyhow.
You remember that long talked about 24 movie that they were going to make?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that never happened. So instead, Fox is going to do a series event next season, which is basically a 12-hour, which is a half season, right? It's a half season series, but they're bringing back Keith Sutherland's show to Fox for 24, whatever they're going to call it.
Okay. You know. All right, then.
Yep. Barbara Walters announced her retirement on The View this morning, which was long anticipated.
But she's not retiring for like a year and a half.
I know. But she has slowed down considerably considering the work that she used to do with all of her specials and investigative.
She's like 80s now, right?
She is. I mean, she co-hosted 2020 for a long time.
Yeah.
And I mean, this woman was a pioneer for females in broadcast journalism.
Yeah,
I mean, let's not discount what her attributions and contributions to the industry have been. But yeah,
it's kind of sad it's all ending up with The View. Like, that's her.
Right. I know. Right. With Whoopi Goldberg, who doesn't give a shit and would rather just cash a paycheck and shut her mouth. So, I don't know. Seth Meyers is going to take over Jimmy Fallon's late night show when Jimmy jumps to the Tonight Show.
That makes me sad in a way because I'm going to miss him on SNL.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see because that show is already going through some changes with cast, and Seth was the head writer, so I'm curious to see who they'll promote.
Well, Tina's free again now.
That's true, but somehow I doubt she's going to go back to that show.
I don't think so.
And the other big announcement this week is J.J. Abrams is honoring the legacy of the original Star Wars trilogy by taking Episode 7 and shooting it in London at Pinewood Studios. So you will see a lot more British actors in Star Wars, unlike the final, the last three, the most recent trilogy. But it'll be very reminiscent of the original, which is good because you're picking up that story after those three tales ended. So, All right, that's all I got for news.
Okay. Well, we got a couple. Oh, Bynes is still crazy. That's the update on her.
Big surprise.
But in the Kardashians world, they're back from Greece, their big vacation in Greece that they couldn't stop tweeting and sharing pictures about. And Kim and Kanye are walking down the street, and I guess there are paparazzi there, and Kanye was like had his head down and was like trying to avoid making eye contact with the paparazzi, and he walked right into a street sign. Cut open his forehead.
Oh, please tell me somebody has this on video.
Oh, yes, they do, because then afterwards, he went off.
Oh, really?
Kanye meltdown to the nth degree on the paparazzi. Because it's all their fault he can't walk.
Oh, jeez.
Obviously. Jeez Louise. But also, in Kardashian land, Khloe and Lamar got swatted.
What does that mean?
That's the whole somebody calls the police and says there's like somebody shot somebody in the house.
Oh, right.
So the whole SWAT team arrives and it's nothing.
Okay.
Lamar was home alone and the SWAT team arrived.
Jeez.
No, all good.
Lovely. Yep.
So all's right in Hollywood.
All right. We have a contest this week over at DVD Verdict.
We do. It's for the kiddos.
Nice.
Educational program Word Girl.
Oh.
So we got 5 DVDs of that to give away this week.
Well, you can improve your grammar.
Yes.
So, all right. And on that bombshell, we will wrap up this week. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in and for heading over to DVD Verdict and checking out all of our reviews, which are much more consistent now that I actually have time to work on it. And I'm not doing 10 million other things. So I've got a couple months to keep on top of that stuff. But until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
It's all in the one word that stops and steals the time. Goodbye.